ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 8, text number 24.
Maitreya uvacha
evam sanjalpitam matur akarnyarthagamam
vachaha
saniyam yatmanadmanam nishchakrama patur purat. This is the word-for-word meanings. Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said. Who is the great sage Maitreya speaking to? Correct. Evam. Thus. Sanjalpitam. Spoken together. Who's speaking together? Huh? No. He's, pardon me? Dhruva Maharaj and his mother. Which mother? Suniti, yes. Thank you. So, Sanjalpitam is describing how Maitreya is speaking about the conversation between Dhruva's mother, Suniti, and Dhruva Maharaj. He's making a conclusion because he's saying thus, evam thus. Matuhu, from the mother. Akarnya, hearing. Arta agamam, purposeful. Vachaha, words. If I were to say, arta agamam vachaha, what would you say that means? Who said that? What would you say it means? Purposeful words. Yeah, that's very important. Purposeful words. Because what's the opposite of that? Useless words. Yeah. There's a difference between words which are purposeful and those that don't have a real purpose or don't have the ultimate purpose. Saniyamya. Controlling. Atmana, by the mind. Atmanam, own self. So if I were to say staniyam ya atmanatmanam, what would you say that meant? Controlling one's self by the mind, by one's own mind. Nishchakrama, got out. Pitahu, of the father. Purat, from the house. So nishchakrama means to get that he got out. Pitu, of the father. Purat, from the house. So what does this last line mean in the context of the story? Who left the house? He's a five-year-old boy and he busted out of the house. And he just headed for the forest. So this is quite shocking, actually, for a little prince like that. Any five-year-old, a little five-year-old prince, he heard the words of his mother, that's what this verse is saying, and after hearing these purposeful words, he just burst out of the house and he took off to find God in the forest. So we'll say the verse one more time so we can think about the meanings. Maitreya uvacha. Evan sanjalpitam matur. What does that mean? Evam sanjalpitam matur. Huh? Matur is the mother. Sanjalpitam, the discussion between the two of them, and Evam, thus, okay. Evam Sanjalpitam Matur.
Evam Sanjalpitam Matur.
Akarnyartha
Gamambachaha.
What does that mean? I'll ask our pundit in the second row here. Of course, it'd be nice if we had the microphone going around. Because that way, all the devotees who have joined us online could hear also, and everybody in the corner. Yes. So purposeful words taking place. And then, saniyam, saniyam yatmanatmanam. Tell us. Yeah. He got ready for his task to go find God in the forest. Took those words. He controlled the senses, controlled himself, and went out. And Nishchakrama Patu Purat means he busted out of the house. He got out. Okay. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, the instruction of Dhruva Maharaja's mother, Suniti, was actually meant for fulfilling his desired objective. Therefore, after deliberate consideration and with intelligence and fixed determination, he left his father's house. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Both the mother and the son were lamenting Dhruva Maharaja's having been insulted by his stepmother and his father's not having taken any step on this issue. But mere lamentation is useless. One should find out the means to mitigate one's lamentation. Thus both mother and son decided to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, because that is the only solution to all material problems. Thus both mother and son decided to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, because that is the only solution to all material problems. What is the solution to all material problems?
Take shelter.
Correct. It is indicated in this connection that Dhruva Maharaj left his father's capital city to go to a secluded place to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the instruction of Prahlad Maharaj also that if one is seeking peace of mind, he should free himself from all contamination of family life and take shelter of the Supreme Godhead by going to the forest. To the Gaudiya Vaishnava, this forest is the forest of Vrindavan, or Vrindavan. If one takes shelter of Vrindavan under Vrindavaneshwari, Srimati Radharani, certainly all the problems of his life are solved very easily. Maitreya Vacha, Evam Sanjalpitam Matru, Akarnyartha Bhagamun Vachaha, Saniyam Yatmanatmanam, Nishchakrama Patu Purat. The great sage Maitreya continued. The instruction of Dhruva Maharaja's mother, Suniti, was actually meant for fulfilling his desired objective. Therefore, after deliberate consideration and with intelligence and fixed determination, he left his father's house. Did you all hear that? Should I say it again?
Yes.
The sage Maitreya continued. The very fact that the sage Maitreya is continuing is noteworthy. As we're listening in on a conversation between Maitreya, who just heard from Krishna about the Absolute Truth, he happened to be wandering in a place where he met Krishna seemingly by accident, but Prabhupada says such things don't happen by accident. They happen because of Ajnata Sukriti. Some special pious credits that one has, and one gets to meet Krishna. So Maitreya met Krishna just before he was leaving the planet, and while he was speaking to Uddhava. So he sat down in that place where Krishna was leaning against a young banyan tree, and Krishna was speaking for the benefit of Uddhava, so Uddhava could go to Bhadrika Ashram and enlighten the sages there, from which And from there, the message of bhakti could be spread all over the world, because so many sages would go there. And they were the only ones that hadn't gotten the benefit of hearing this message. So Maitreya had just been there. Vidura later on met Uddhava and requested him to become his spiritual master. But Uddhava, for a couple of reasons, declined. He said that, first of all, he had a mission. He had to go to Bhadarikashram. And second of all, he said Maitreya Muni, who's also heard from the Lord recently, at the same time, is in proximity, and he's senior to me. And therefore, he deferred to the senior-most devotee that was there. And when Vidura met Maitreya, Prabhupada comments that Vidura is a pure devotee in his own right. But because the science of Krishna consciousness is so subtle, it requires that a person like Vidura, Prabhupada says, accept a spiritual master and hear from him so that he can understand the absolute truth completely and precisely. And that's much to the point of today's verse. When we hear that there is a discussion going on, it's sanjalpitam matu, evam sanjalpitam matu. This is a very touching section of the Bhagavatam that Dhruva Maharaj's mother gave him shelter, and the perfect kind of shelter, because she didn't simply join him in his lamentation, although she did join him in his lamentation. Prabhupada says she didn't merely do that. She also gave him the solution to all lamentation. And this is something that Krishna also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanava na Shokchati na Kankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madpaktim Labhate Varo. One has to come to the spiritual platform to rise above the mode of lamentation, mere lamentation. Of course, lamentation or any kind of human emotion can lead one to a determined effort to understand the absolute truth. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter is called the observing the armies on the battlefield, Kurukshetra. Elsewhere, it's also called the yoga of lamentation or the yoga of despair. And Arjuna, in such great despair, came to his limit, and understanding that he could not solve the problem, he turned to his superior, Krishna, and said, Karpanya dosha bahata subhava prachami tam dharma samuda chetaha, that now I give up. I'm not going to simply lament. Now I understand. I'll turn my attention to you, and you please tell me what to do at this point. And Krishna says, Asochanath anvasochastvam agnivaram shabhasase gatasana gatasanscha nanupandita sanchita. Look it up. Asochanam vasochastvam pragnavadam shabhasase gatasana gatasanscha nanu sochanti panditaha. Thank you. Just by going to get the book, it always makes it come out. So, this is about words also. Krishna is saying, asochan anvasochastvam pragnavadams. You're speaking a lot of words here. Spoke a lot of words in the first chapter, Arjuna speaking to Krishna. He said, but your words are not very good. They're not purposeful. They're not going to bring you to the perfection of life. And you're lamenting uselessly. You're acting, you're speaking like you're very learned, but actually you're not. You don't know anything. So Krishna mildly chastised Arjuna before he spoke. And later we find in the second chapter of the Gita that Arjuna asks, what is the symptom of somebody who's actually on this spiritual platform? He wants to know. And one of the points that Krishna makes is that you can judge by how a person speaks. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in his purport, a fool is not discovered until he or she speaks. He had nothing to say and then he said it. And then everybody knows, you got nothing to say because you just said it. And so the words that come out of a person's mouth are vitally important. In the Vedic culture, in the context of serious spiritual practitioners, one has to back up everything one says with spiritual evidence, with evidence from the scripture. This is part of the austerity of speech that Krishna mentions in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada says, when you're in spiritual circles, you can't just say any old thing. You have to back it up. If you have a theory you'd like to present to the world, you have to say where it comes from. And it has to come from scripture. It has to come from the acharyas. Otherwise, you're simply speaking words that disturb the mind. Shruti smriti prarana ni panchakshiti vidin vina aikantiki hareya bhakti rupatayaiva kalpate. The kind of conduct, spiritual conduct, speech, and other kinds of practices of spiritual life that don't adhere to the shruti, the smriti, panchakshiti vidhi, etc., are simply a disturbance to society. It disturbs everybody's mind. So one has to restrict oneself to authorized speech. So here we find that sanjalpam evam sanjalpitam matu, from the mother came akarnya arta agamam, something worth hearing. Arta, it was worth hearing. There was something valuable in her speech. But it's because, as Prabhupada says in the purport, it was meant to show Dhruva the ultimate goal of life. So this is authorized speech of the mother. And by that, of course, it seems as if it was a brief deliberating time that they had together, that is, Dhruva and his mother. They had time to deliberate. And this is one of the practices of spiritual life, which is especially important, that devotees have to come together and deliberate. Siddhanta bolya chitana kara alash iha hoite Krishna lagi sudrut manash. Means that one has to, well, one should not be lazy. One must not be lazy. One must discuss, in Prabhupada's words, thoroughly threadbare, the siddhanta, that is, the pinpoint accuracy, one must understand what the goal of life is, and also what it isn't. One must understand what the absolute truth is, and also what the absolute truth isn't. It's very precise. And if one understands this, if one takes the trouble to deliberate and discuss this thoroughly threadbare, through hearing authorized speech from authorized personalities, and someone might say, well, what is this authorized you're talking about? I'm just as authorized as the next person. That's not true. We could demonstrably show that there is authorized speech and unauthorized speech. For instance, if, let's just say you have a date with the judge at the court, and you go to the court, and the judge, you sit down, and the judge awards you, well, let's say Samyapras. Samyapras goes to court, and the judge bangs his gavel, and he says, no, first he says, and then he bangs his gavel, because that seals it. He says, Samyapras is awarded $1,000,000. And then he bangs his gavel. Does Samyapras get the money? Say yes. Yeah, he does, because the judge said it. And if, who are we going to pick? Yes? Well, he might get it if you say it too, I don't know. If an ordinary person comes in and says, let's say an intoxicated person who's obviously crazy. And this happens sometimes. We had a fundraising drive once at our old temple. We're trying to raise money to buy a new temple. And there were three characters in the front row, and they kept raising their hand and pledging huge amounts of money. I asked one of our devotees, could you check them out? And they had some scheme that they showed how you didn't really have to pay money to the government for taxes, and it was a convoluted and very harebrained scheme. They weren't going to give us the money. I could understand that fairly quickly. And then, so their speech was unauthorized. I could understand when they said, I pledge $20,000, that we weren't going to get it. But when the judge told Samyapras, you get $1,000,000 and you bang his gavel, you're getting it. Because he was authorized to say that. And so this is pointed out in this Tattva Sandarbha, that some speech is authorized. And when an authorized person speaks and says that this is the authorized process for reaching the purpose of life, then if you listen and you take it, then you'll reach the purpose of life. Just by following, systematic, anupashyati, you have to see by following the great authorities. So this is what Dhruva Maharaj is doing here. They've discussed, Dhruva brought his problem, difficulty to his mother, and his mother deliberated. She said, you know, this is a very difficult situation, you're born into this, there's no real way out of it except for one, and that is that you have to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was authorized speech, and at that point she became his Vargmana Pradakshika Guru. She showed him the way. And later on we'll find in this pastime that Dhruva Maharaj honors his mother as his Vargmana Pradakshika Guru. She showed him the path to Krishna consciousness. So Dhruva takes it. And akarnya yar tagamam vachaha. These purposeful words were spoken. And then saniyam yatmanatmanam. Because of that, because of hearing that, Dhruva became determined. And he controlled himself and got ready for performing the duties that he had heard from his mother, which was go to the forest and try to find God. And so this is the result of deliberation. When you deliberate properly, then you can become deliberate in your action. And you can do something determinedly because you've understood what is the purpose of life and how to achieve it, and you've heard it from an authorized person. Therefore, Haridas Thakur says in the Harinam Chintamani, in speaking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's inquiring about how to properly conduct spiritual life, that one must gain on a regular basis sambandha gyan, knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to chant with determination. You have to hear regularly. And what does regularly mean, anyway? Huh? Every day. You have to hear every day. Because if you skip a day, then it's easy to forget what the purpose of life is, and it's easy to lose your determination if you don't do it every day. That's why we circle the wagons here around this little place. And we all huddle in here. This morning we're all in here, sitting in here, chanting together. I saw the devotees chanting japa together. And we form a tight circle because we're protecting our practice here. And we've heard from many different places that it's a good idea to practice every day. And because we're hearing that, then we've become determined, just like Dhruva Maharaj, to take up the practice. Now there is a way in which someone might think that one advances in this discipline by luck. So I just want to distinguish between luck. So this the path to determined devotional service, the determination of Dhruva Maharaj, is to choose deliberate practice over luck. To choose deliberate practice over luck. So here's what luck means. Success or failure apparently brought by chance rather than one's own actions. Success or failure apparently brought by chance rather than one's own actions. What does luck mean?
Success or failure apparently brought by chance rather than by
own actions. Okay. We don't want to leave it to luck or think that I'll just get lucky. But we want to have deliberate practice. This is Vaidhi Bhakti. We have to deliberately practice. So we have to deliberate first and understand why we're doing it. And here are some of the aspects of deliberation that are given in the dictionary. Deliberation means that one has given thorough consideration. Thorough consideration. What are some of the things that you have to consider thoroughly before you take up your practice?
The advantages and disadvantages of practicing.
Thank you. If you have authorized speech, to offer, then you can speak in the microphone. Otherwise, just speak off into space and let it dissipate. Can you say it again?
One can consider the advantages and disadvantages.
Like what? Be more specific, because more specific things are more interesting.
Well, if I've tried chanting japa and I realize that it has an effect on my mind, a very pacifying, purifying, clarifying effect, I can consider, even if I don't feel like chanting japa at a given time, I should think, well, it's in my best interest to do so, because otherwise I'll have a crazy mind to do it.
Okay. In taking up spiritual life in general, what kinds of things might you consider very thoroughly? One, two. Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And I'm talking about before one takes to spiritual life, before one becomes determined about spiritual life, what things might someone consider very thoroughly before taking to it in a determined way? I mean, when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, a bunch of my friends came to the, I forget which day I joined on, it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think it was a Monday, but the next week after I'd been there for 6 days, some of my friends showed up from high school to make sure I wasn't kidnapped or something. And they said, are you sure you want to do this? And obviously it was a departure from the normal track that most people were on. So what did I deliberate on? What did I consider thoroughly? What kind of thorough consideration is somebody who makes such a radical change in their life to take up spiritual life instead of giving oneself fully to material life? What do you have to thoroughly consider? Yes.
You can thoroughly consider whether or not the happiness that's offered in the material world is something of greater value than happiness as an opposite of spiritual practice.
Now, I've heard that in this very ashram, when Savas was the temple president and it was packed to the rafters with brahmacharis, and sometimes brahmacharis would change their mind and they say, maybe I'd like to have another go at the material world. Savas say, okay, fine, but I want you to do one thing first. You come with me somewhere, and we'll sit together just for a couple hours, and then if you still want to go, you can go. And they go, well, all right. And they take him down to the emergency room. There's a local hospital, I think, here. Especially this street. What is that main street down there? Colfax. There's a lot of gunshot wounds down there. People suffer from Colfax. At least it used to be. And he would sit. And if you ever sit in an emergency room on a, well, of course, any day, it's pretty depressing. But especially like on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning after a long Saturday night, people get liquored up and they forget who they are and they pull out. And then they have a sidearm and they pull it out and start shooting people, and then they shoot themselves. And then they end up with, you know, bullet wounds with there's an entryway and an exitway, and there's parts falling off them and things like that. So he would take them and just sit there for a little while and say, I just want you to deliberate on your choice before you make it, that it's a good idea to go back out into the material world. Any other thorough considerations? Yes. So, yes, you have another one?
I was thinking only considering one's the temporary nature of happiness and material world, but seeing the difference between the devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness, their exhibition of happiness, and those who are working so hard in the material world, and see, compare the levels of satisfaction between the two.
Yes, this could. You could actually notice that if you spend some time around sadhus, you can see that there's a marked difference and getting their association as opposed to getting the association of somebody who's optimistic about the material world and engaged in materialistic activities. So deliberation means to thoroughly consider something. Then it also means to be aware of consequences. If you're aware of the consequences. So Krishna in the Gita gives us preliminary knowledge, for instance, Jayato Vishnayankum Sam, Sangasteshu Vijayate. He talks about consequences of becoming attached to material things, and there's a downward spiral in which one becomes attached and becomes bewildered, then it forgets and falls into ignorance again, and so forth. So throughout the Bhagavatam, for instance, there are stories imparted even by Hiranyakashipu to his family, where he's describing family life, and he says, he gives a story of some birds who are raising a family, and they're going out to bring back food, and they leave their little ones at home, and when they come back, they find all the little ones are, little birds are caught in a net, and they stand there lamenting, and the mother bird then flies into the net to save them. She becomes caught. And then the father bird stands there lamenting even more. And then the cruel hunter, standing behind a tree, shoots him with an arrow. The end. Thank you for attending. These are lessons given for thorough consideration of what is the ultimate goal or the ultimate result of material life as opposed to spiritual life. So one can consider thoroughly, be aware of the consequences, and thirdly, an element of deliberation is slow, steady, and allowing time to mature. So one has to take some time and come to have full conviction, nishtha, in the process of devotional service, so that one's not disturbed by various so-called alternatives to practicing spiritual life. So one of the reasons that Dhruva Maharaj is so much revered is because of his determination that upon hearing from his mother, his Vartmana Pradarshaka Guru, he immediately went off to find Krishna in the forest. And it's not that one has to be born with determination. One can develop determination. And one of the ways, because there are several, and I'll mention them over the next few days, one of the ways is through proper deliberation. And I'm proposing that that has to be done regularly, which means every day. You have to start over every day and deliberate. Why am I doing this? And what are the consequences of giving full attention to the practice of Krishna consciousness? And also one should be patient. Take time. Don't abandon the process because you don't get immediate results. And now we'll take some reflections or questions on anything that you heard from the verse or the monologue so far. Yes. Yes. It is actually the essential element for advancing in spiritual life. Satam pratangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashu apavarga vartmani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishyati. This Kapiladeva says to Devahuti that you have to stay in the association of satam. That means those who are pure devotees or following pure devotees. And in that association, he says, you'll hear the sound, the kind of sound vibration that will elevate you to the highest position of devotional service just by that association, what you hear from those authorized persons. 1, 2.
You were talking about the standard process. They were setting this for the authorized process. And the purport here, Prabhupada says it really nice at the end. He says that one takes shelter from Dhamma, Vrindavan, Shri, Vrindavanani. Certainly all the problems of his life are solved very easily. So this instruction comes up so many times in our scriptures. It's part of the standard process. You can share some advice on how to do that when you're not living in Dhamma.
The entire process begins, according to Rupa Goswami, Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasinioja Tishtan Vraje Tanadaragi Jananagami Kalam Nayed Akilamitu Padeshi Sai. That's by organizing one's life in such a way that one can continually hear and chant, etc., in the association of devotees, then gradually one's mind and heart will become attached to Vrindavan. More specifically, by hearing and systematically, and in association of advanced devotees, those who are more advanced than oneself, one hears from the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other literatures, authorized literatures. Then gradually one becomes attached to a particular mode of worship that's being performed by one of the residents of Vrindavan. And then one's ability to appreciate that increases more and more. Prabhupada describes this in the first volume of the, in the Adi Lila, chapter 4, text number 34. The second to last purport, he talks about our appreciating capacity. And he also says that as we go on hearing, our natural tendency to hear about Krishna and to hear specific things about Krishna, our natural taste for that will awaken. And that will be an indication of our relationship with Krishna. But this verse says, Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami. We'll become, through that process, we'll actually enter into Vrindavan by following the footsteps, the mode of service of those devotees. Of course, that can't be done prematurely. One has to do the full, and Prabhupada goes out of his way to explain in this purport by quoting his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one must hear thoroughly and assimilate all the knowledge and all the categories of knowledge. One cannot artificially or haphazardly jump forward and try to specifically hear certain kinds of pastimes about Vrindavan and so forth. But if one does one's due diligence throughout a lifetime of hearing and goes on serving the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhunadanda Saraswati Thakur mentions in the Chaitanya Chandamrita that by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras, by helping to spread his Sankirtan movement and so forth, then naturally one's heart becomes filled with love for Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting that. He's the gateway for us to understand Vrindavan and to enter into Vrindavan through that process. Of course, one can also go to Vrindavan, which is highly recommended. If one has the opportunity to go to Vrindavan in the association of devotees and spend time there hearing and chanting, then one will one will naturally, if one doesn't make offenses, develop an affection for the Dham, an attraction for it, and an appreciation for it. And then, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if you can't go there physically, you should live there within your heart and mind. And that can be cultivated by either going there when one can, and most definitely by going on and hearing and chanting. Of course, these temples are also Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, are very specifically here. We were just reading in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, or it was in the 11th canto. Yes, 11th canto, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the authors were quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and saying that the archa vigraha of Radha and Krishna, or any of the deities of the Lord who appear here, actually all the other avatars enter within the Lord, and that becomes our way in which we can be in direct contact with Krishna. And Radha Krishna, Shri Radha Govinda are here, we can also enter into Vrindavan by worshipping the deity. Vrinda Sundari, and then over to Amala Purana Prabhu.
I appreciate
Yes, thank you for that nice point. Rupa Goswami mentions the niyamagraha, which means that one shouldn't superficially engage in devotional service without getting a result. And, of course, one should also not give up the practice either. So what should one do? Well, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Uddhava that to purify a mantra, one should study it. And those who are very deliberate about studying the processes of devotional service, understanding which mantras they're chanting and why they're doing such practices, will be much more deliberate and aware of why they're doing it. And this is something that helps one advance quickly. Whereas Niyamagraha are doing it just ritualistically or mindlessly, will hinder one's progress in devotional service. Amala Purana Prabhu, and Melissa, did you raise your hand or were you just sewing? Okay, so
I'm going to... Any questions online? I will just say, text message to 720-335-7677. That's 720-335-7677.
Our operators are standing by to take your calls now. You could also order one set of Srimad Bhagavatams when you call in.
Like this point you made of when one is talking, trying to speak authoritatively on spiritual values, that one must refer to Shastra. Otherwise, it's a disturbance to the mind of others. So.
Yes. I was walking with a godbrother recently in a forest, and we were speaking Krishna Katha, and there were a lot of other tourists there who were just speaking nonsense. It was palpable. Everyone's taking selfies. Look at me with the tree over here. Get a picture of mom, and everyone's posing and everything. And then when you walk by, you can just hear people talking nonsense. And we were walking through, and we were speaking Krishna Katha. And my godbrother said that this is the trees, I think, will really appreciate the fact that at least somebody's talking Krishna Katha here. And it made me appreciate when he said that there's a way in which the entire environment is affected, all living entities are affected when somebody is deliberately restraining their speech and speaking Krishna Katha rather than speaking nonsense. But to speak of the effect it has on us.
And if so, what are those qualities of that authorized person?
The person who helps you. One will notice when one comes into devotional service with great eagerness, and even if one's faith is not particularly strong or one doesn't have complete Shastric information yet, then one will notice that he or she is getting help. It's getting help from somebody. You'll notice it yourself. You'll notice that, oh, that person really helped me. And the more that you hang around with that person or listen to that person, the more you actually feel encouraged and you feel yourself getting stronger. And then you think, yeah, this is really good for me. So it's more of a consuming feeling. Gaur Govinda Maharaj once said, when he was asked, and this relates, who is more important, your Shiksha Guru, your Diksha Guru, or which Guru is the most important? He said, the one who occupies your heart is the most important. And there's a way in which this happens. It's almost like falling in love in a way. It's like, well, how'd that happen? It's like, I have no idea, I just fell in love. You know, and we notice too that there's an old saying, my wife taught me this, every pot has its lid. Like people find their, you know, the person they're supposed to be with in life, kind of. So there's a way in which Krishna, it's an internal process. Krishna arranges for us to meet somebody to help us locally. He delegates people to help others. And some people are attracted to one person, some people are attracted to another person, and it happens because there's a bit of mystery to it. We don't know exactly what our ultimate relationship is with Krishna and everything like that, but we can feel it when we're getting helped and when our heart feels occupied by that person. That's a strong indication. Of course, you also want to do your due diligence and check and see what is a bona fide spiritual master. Those things are mentioned in the Shastra. There are many verses about that. You have Nirkula has some questions coming or comments coming from the
backing up what you say with Shastra. But when Shastra seemingly contradicts the Siddhanta of other Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate truth, and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas are the ultimate commentators.
Thank you. See, we attracted Rameshwar Prabhu somehow. That's a good day. Yes, we have to. The Kanishtha Adhikari has some faith, actually weak faith, but no knowledge of Shastra. The Madhyama Adhikari has strong faith, but no knowledge of Shastra. Well, not no knowledge, but very little knowledge. And the Uttama Adhikari is marked by having strong faith and also Shastra Sunipuna, knows how all the Shastra fits together and how it all works, and has very clear knowledge of Shastra, can explain it to others. And part of that is understanding exactly who to take knowledge from. Even as Rameshwar Prabhu pointed out, we may hear various points made by acharyas, but being able to very specifically align oneself with our through the acharyas and our Gaudiya Sampradaya to come to the ultimate conclusion and therefore practice deliberately the kind of sadhana that we've been given is very important, as he just pointed out. Thank you. 1, 2, 3.
Hearing and chanting regularly, awareness that there's not always this urgency or a hunger, that I feel like I'm it's not so urgent. How do I counteract this lackadaisical feeling of complacency?
Fast on Ekadashi. Do something extreme and to jolt you out of your doldrums, or take time to associate more deeply with advanced devotees. So there are ways in which it's easy to drift in any discipline, so you have to constantly be pulling back to the center by getting good association and sometimes taking extra measures to help jolt yourself out of that complacency. For instance, if you take one day to chant 64 rounds, and then you'll, by the 63rd and a half round, during halfway through that round, you may get some little taste. And then the next day you'll think, oh, yeah, let me try my 16 rounds with more determination. Especially for somebody that's very far along on the path, that's already taken initiation and so forth, moving forward, you have to be inventive and do everything that you can to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. One of the statements I really appreciate from the great Bhagavatam commentator, Sridhar Swami, who speaks about the verse 10.14.8, Tate Anukampam Susumikshimanu, and he says that the duty of the son of a rich man is to stay alive. And similarly said that the duty of every devotee is to somehow or other stay alive in Krishna consciousness.
So regarding this point you were making about authority, I've noticed that a lot of people in modern times, myself included perhaps, have a little bit of fear of just even the word authority. It's just, it scares people away, you know, like where you were saying that, you know, that just by spending time with devotees, that one can develop faith. But I've seen that some people are so afraid of people who are maybe authoritative or authorities that they can't allow themselves to spend time with the devotees because they're too authoritative for them. So how can we help people? It's like a dog who's been beaten by a man with a hat, and every time it sees another man with a hat, it runs away. So it doesn't like authority, you know? And so even if the man is trying to give the dog treats, it's still running away, you know? So I'm just wondering, how can we help people feel at ease if we're not going to hurt them? We just want to help.
Well, it takes time. When in ordinary life, when somebody's traumatized, it's not that you have some trick and you just say, okay, now you're going to get over that. People take a long time to overcome their phobias and the different impressions they have. My dad was a psychologist. He did psychotherapy. And he used to tell me that sometimes he had clients like for 10 years before they made a breakthrough or something like that. Developing faith in someone and actually learning to trust someone takes some time. It's not something that happens very easily. But it does happen. It's the nature of the soul to have that kind of implicit trust. I mean, look at, even in the natural world, if you look at bees, they all follow the queen bee. The way to move a nest from one place to another is find the queen bee and ask her gently if you could move over there. And then when the queen bee moves, then everyone says, okay, let's go. We're going with the queen bee. We're part and parcel of the supreme whole, so it's our nature to conform to the authority. It's very unnatural to go against that. bhayam dvitiya vinibeshitasya ishat api tasya viparyayo smitihi. Bhagavatam, Kavi Yogendra says that if once you turn away from that authority, then you'll experience fear. But it's not natural. And he says, what's the natural, how to overcome that? He said, turn around. So you're asking a very specific thing, like how do you help people overcome that? You have to create a safe environment that they can come into regularly and get a good association. Safe environment means that people are allowed to associate without being critically judged, so that they can ask questions and have their questions answered in a reasonable way, so they can start to develop reasonable faith. And then there'll be a change of heart also in that association. It doesn't necessarily happen on an intellectual level, but people start to feel, as I mentioned to Melissa, that, oh, I'm actually being helped. One can feel it. Just as much as bhakti parishana bhava virakiranyata traishi trika eka kala padyamanasya tasinas tushti pushti shudapayona gasam is like the satisfaction of eating. You feel nourishment, satisfaction, your hunger goes away. So similarly, in the right kind of environment, then people actually feel bhakti awakened. They start to see it for themselves, and they also become detached from troubling desires in their life, and they see, oh, this is real. So then they take shelter.
Hare Krishna. Please, I'm contrasting two ideas. When I first came to the Denver Temple, a good friend and well-wisher, Krishna Arjuna Prabhu, he said, the more you chant the mantra, the holy name, the more you understand why you chant. So that's certainly true. It's also very true that one should live on purpose, you know, and be very aware of the goal and the meaning of one's actions. So that's all very true. At the same time, I want to highlight the fact that Lord Chaitanya has garlanded the world with the leaf of the holy names of Krishna Prema, and that all potencies are there in the holy name of Srila Prabhupada has assured us that even if we're dull-brained people like myself and not so inclined towards symmetry and philosophy, that all perfection is available in service to the holy name of my spiritual master. And of course, my spiritual master is writing so many books, and Srila Prabhupada has written so many books. So the essential point I'm taking away is hearing the holy name, hearing the message of the holy name. But I'm just being very grateful that as Krishna is patient with us, and as our understanding and realization matures, that we can go on chanting and dancing. And I'm very thankful that Lord Chaitanya has imbued the holy name of Krishna Prema, particularly in this age, and that's a very special opportunity. I really feel that kirtan is my only hope for spiritual advancement for myself, and that's the fact. It's everybody's only hope in this age. I'm thankful for kirtan. I'm thankful for your ecstatic kirtan. Continue my enthusiasm down the line.
So this is an example of what I'm talking about. You sit in the association always, you hear things like that, and then you walk away thinking, oh, the world's garlanded with the wreath of prema, the holy name, and all potencies are there, and then, oh, I think we'll give it another try. Pranahari, last one.
Yes.
And as I, there's a section of the Vedanta Sutra which points out that the logic of the fact that the living entity has volition, and that is, Srila Vyasadeva writes that because the scriptures are giving him many instructions that you should advance and that you can advance, it means that it's altogether possible. Because they're speaking to us, and there wouldn't be any sense in their speaking to us unless you could actually attain what they're saying. So one should have faith in the words of the scripture that if I continue in the process, then I will attain perfection. And that I'm an agent for change. What I do and the decisions I make make a difference. So may we attain the determination of Sri Dhruva Maharaj as he goes off to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by hearing from the authorized source. Gaur Premanande Haribol. And thank you everyone for joining us online. Everyone can turn to the camera and say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nitai Gaura Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, hey, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman.